You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people. But somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
Hi, it's Safety Wars for Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. Where the hell did this month go? I mean, the month went by real quick. Anyway, what are we going to talk about today? Some updates from OSHA. We cannot avoid at this point what's going on in Minnesota. The other thing is we will be discussing the Apollo 1. Today is the anniversary of the Apollo 1 fire that killed 3 astronauts. We're going to be going into a little bit of a history here, safety history. And it's very apropos at this time because we're flying another mission to the moon. First time since like 1973. I vaguely remember this, the last mission. So when there was the moon landing in the 1960s. That was widely televised. As this became more and more routine, less and less televised here. So anyway, a lot of debate why we are not there now. I don't know. We'll let the people who like to debate. Here on Safety Words, we're here to give some facts and some thoughts and some opinions. And we'll come back to you in a minute.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Yeah, we're here. It's Tuesday, January 27, 2026. Welcome. Brutal weather over the weekend. I mean, brutal. There ain't no way we could describe it. What do you mean, Jim? So, in my neck of the woods, that is, I've been yelled at. It's not upstate New York. Rockland County. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, whatever we're calling it, now the official total was like 19 inches of snow. No, not on my block. It was closer to 2 feet. Very deep. Between that and the snowplow keeping on plowing us in, And, during last Christmas, we had our Christmas album with Frosty, the snowplow driver. The snowplow driver who does not check his truck, drives fatigued, and he ends up, crashing. Well, we had a bizarre incident by us. We had a snowplow catch on fire. It's like, really? If I had to guess, I would say there was a hydraulic leak of some sort, and the oil got on the engine and started a fire. That's often what happens, at least in my experience. I haven't driven a snowplow in many, many moons. But when I used to, that was not unheard of. So that's often what happens with this. So, nobody got hurt, to my knowledge, thank God. Now, Minnesota. I shared this story several times since January 6, 2021. So on January 6, 2021, I received a whole series of phone calls. And, hey, Jim, are you going on down to Washington? Blah, blah, blah. These are old political contacts. So I said, look, there's going to be a problem down there. You can just see there's going to be a problem. There's going to be an issue. So I said, I'm going to decline. But I said, look, the leaders of these movements, don't care, Republican, Democrat, left, right, we're talking at the extremes, or at least the people who run these things might be at the extreme. They are sitting back in their $3,000 silk suits, running the show, calling the moves, while everybody else with the and a lot of times they hide their assets. They have no assets. They don't even have a bank account, a lot of these folks. Don't own a car. What have you? Nothing. And they get everybody all riled up. Or they're very rich and they have themselves insulated. It goes the other way. And what do? The people with the most to lose, the pawns, are the foot soldiers, whatever you want to call it. I believe it was Stalin called them the useful idiots, or was it Orwell? I forget, one of them guys. They go, and they get involved. And we know what happened on January 6th. You had Ashley Babbitt being shot by personnel, like law enforcement or guards, whatever it was, inside the Capitol. Now you've had, they get people all riled up. And then the same thing now happens here in Minnesota, getting people all riled up. And the politics is leads to strange bedfellows, as the saying goes. And here you have the NRA, say National Rifle Association, in case you didn't know. Now, saying, well, the person had the had a right to carry, Second Amendment, blah, 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 blah. And then the other, similar things there. He did this, he did that, blah, 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 blah. And this is where human organizational performance could come into handy in investigating this. What's the context here that we're all dealing with? what's the context to the police? What's the context of the protesters? That's why there has to be a thorough and complete investigation. I can tell you what, the videos that I have seen are painful to watch for the second person shot here and killed. My question is this: how do we get from a protest up to a fatality here? I think that's a no. When was this okay? Or you went from a protest to a fatality. Now, as far as I understand with Minnesota law, it is the same as most other places. In New York, no, if you're a concealed weapons permit holder, you're not even allowed to carry a concealed weapon or open carry in a public gathering or protest or demonstration situation like this. I looked it up for Minnesota. The minute that you commit a crime, that concealed weapons permit is null and void. Or as one of our listeners said, contacted me, that concealed weapons permit is only for self-defense. That's not all for offense. If your life and limb are in threat. And that we could all play Monday morning quarterback here. That's not what I'm doing. But if you're, the minute that you touch or you confront aggressively a law enforcement agent, whether it's Border Patrol, ICE, your local constable, your local peace officer, your local police officer, even your, like what we have up here, auxiliary police officers. I know my mother many years ago, somebody laid hands on her when she was working for the police department, a child, and let's just say the child had a problem with the police afterwards. A teenager, troubled child. At that minute, that's all goes by the wayside, whether, oh, you have a concealed weapons permit, you got this, you got that, regardless of what your opinion is. Apparently, the governor, Waltz, and Donald Trump had a conversation, and they both agreed to dial it back. People got demoted in Department of Homeland Security. There have been calls for people to get fired and replace the leadership. Often what happens with police officers, what their defense is, and it's a legitimate defense, we're trained and instructed to do things this way. So my question right off the bat, were they trained and instructed to manage things this way? I believe at this point, that's a valid question. It's also a valid question. Are these agents suffering from PTSD? What's their prior experience? What's their current experience? Well, that's on that end. Some people put together some very detailed notes and facts just from social media posts on the protesters. That's another context. I would encourage everybody to go there and look those up because it indicates to me some type of coordination at a very high level. Equipment showing up for the protest conveniently. Other protesters showing up conveniently, like they were in the ready, like the ready reserve. This huge coordination would indicate, if true, would lead to some kind of conspiracy, collusion, dare I say, insurrection. Attributes of an insurrection. Needs to be a complete investigation here with this. And that's what I'm going to say, investigations. There was also another investigation today on Hold on. This is from the Associated Press. If you recall, in February of last year, there was a mid-air collision between an American Airlines jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter, which killed 67 people near Washington, D.C. Everything ended up in the Potomac, both aircraft. And today, the National Transportation Safety Board were deeply troubled Tuesday over years of ignored warnings about helicopter traffic dangers and other problems long before last year's mid-air collision. So today, I believe, was the start of the investigation, or it might have been yesterday. The board heard hours of testimony from investigators who outlined their findings in the collision and subsequent crash near Reagan National Airport a year ago. Key themes emerged, including overwhelmed air traffic control, a failure to alert the jet's pilot about other aircraft, and a history of missed opportunities to reroute helicopter traffic. And it goes on and on and on. Family members listened intently during the hearing. The negligence of not fixing things that needed to be fixed killed my brother and 66 other people. So I'm not very happy, Kristen Miller-Zahn, who watched from the front row, said during a break. The NTSB's job at this point is to determine the biggest factors in the crash and make recommendations. Victims' families say they hope there is meaningful change. It goes on and on and on. So eventually we will get a clear picture as to what happened. NTSB Chairwoman Jennifer Homendy says she couldn't believe that the FAA didn't realize the helicopter route in use during the crash didn't provide adequate separation from planes landing on Reagan's secondary runway. She noted that the FAA had refused to add detailed information about the helicopter routes to pilots' charts so they could better understand the risks. We know over time concerns were raised repeatedly, went unheard, squashed, however you want to put it, stuck in red tape and bureaucracy of a very large organization. Repeated recommendation over the years. NTSB investigators said the Army and FAA weren't sharing all safety data with each other before the crash, and that the Army helicopter pilots often weren't aware when they were involved in a near miss around Reagan. NTSB human performance investigator Catherine Wilson said in air traffic controller felt a little overwhelmed and traffic volume increased to 10 aircraft about 10 to 15 minutes before the collision, but then felt the volume was manageable when one or two helicopters left the airspace. Yet about 90 seconds before the collision, Wilson said, traffic volume increased to a maximum of 12 aircraft consisting of 7 airplanes and 5 helicopters. Radio communication showed that the local controller was shifting focus between airborne, ground, and transiting aircraft. The workload reduced his situational awareness. Now, I don't like that word, situational awareness, but in this case, it's the appropriate word here. It goes on and on and on. So we'll find out what happens eventually here with this. I don't know. Very, very frustrating for all involved. Let's cut to commercial break, and we'll come back at you.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
So today we have a solemn anniversary. Here, today was the marking of the Apollo 1 fire. That was before my time. It was January 27th, 1967. That is almost 60 years ago. Hard to believe. All three crew members were killed. Gus Grissom, command pilot Gus Grissom, senior pilot Ed White, and pilot Roger B. Chaffee, and were all killed. Essentially, immediately after the fire, a NASA convened an accident review board to determine the cause of the fire, and both chambers of the United States Congress conducted their own committee inquiries to oversee NASA's investigation. The ignition source of the fire was determined to be electrical. The fire spread rapidly through the combustible nylon material and the high-pressure pure oxygen cabin atmosphere. Rescue was prevented by the plug door hatch, which could not be opened against the internal pressure of the cabin. Because the rocket was unfueled, the test had not been considered hazardous, and emergency preparedness was poor. There were some other issues where NASA was not being forthcoming here, reportedly. According to Senator Walter Mondale, then later on to be the vice president, and then ran for president in 84. Hang on. Pardon me, we all got a little cold up here in the Northeast here. So that was just going to be like a test. They were running through some tests and things of that nature. Looking through everything. So, the fire. The crew members, what was the cause of the death, right? Causes of the death were from cardiac arrest caused by high concentrations of carbon monoxide. Asphyxiation occurred after the fire melted the astronaut suits and oxygen tubes, exposing them to the lethal atmosphere of the cabin. One astronaut suffered severe third-degree burns on more than one-third of his body, and Spacey was almost completely destroyed. They posted pictures today online. It was horrible. Another astronaut suffered third-degree burns on almost half his body, and a quarter of his spacesuit had melted away. And the other astronaut suffered third-degree burns on almost a quarter of his body. Burns suffered by the crew were not believed to be major factors, so it was concluded that most of them had occurred post-mortem. Thank God. Very painful. The review board identified several major factors which combined to cause fire in the astronauts' deaths. An ignition source most probably related. This should not be, this kind of stuff happens in industry too. An ignition source most probably related to vulnerable wiring carrying spacecraft power and vulnerable plumbing carrying combustible and corrosive coolant. A pure oxygen atmosphere. Remember, high oxygen. Now you have one third of the fire triangle or one quarter of the fire tetrahedron. A cabin seal with a hatch cover that could not be quickly removed at high pressure. An extensive distribution of combustible materials in the cabin and inadequate emergency preparedness all contributed to this. The ignition source was an electric arc of some sort. Right, and everything else along with the pressure, height and pressure, and all different types of stuff going on there. So rest in peace, gentlemen. And we won't share any more accidents here. We do have one that we have to talk about here because nobody else is. Let me share a screen here. This is from a government website. New York roofing contractor enters into settlement agreement with U.S. Department of Labor after willfully failing to protect a worker in a 2021 fatal fall. A Long Island roofing, that's Long Island, New York, roofing contractor has entered into a settlement agreement with the U.S. Department of Labor to resolve willful safety violations found after an employee sustained fatal injuries from an 18-foot fall through an unprotected skylight in August 2021. An investigation by the department's OSHA found that the construction company exposed workers to falls of up to 22 feet and unguarded roof openings and roof edges. OSHA found that the employer failed to provide any personal fall protection equipment to employees at the work site where workers were replacing steel roof decking. The settlement affirms all citations issued to the company, including 9 willful violations, 8 of which were egregious occurrence and violations, for failure to provide fall protection for each of 8 employees who worked on the roof. Under the agreement, the company must pay a $600,000 penalty and implement enhanced abatement procedures to improve the safety for workers, including develop a comprehensive written company safety plan, ensuring and documenting there is enough fall protection equipment for every worker on every job site, notifying OSHA of all upcoming jobs at least a week in advance, permitting warrantless entry by OSHA at all work sites, requiring all supervisors to complete OSHA 30-hour construction safety training. I will add this, that's awareness level training. You're not actually certifying anything. And I wonder if this, they're going to say do it in person or do it online, because I tell you what, I've had it with people doing it online and not learning anything. Right, they come out to the job site. I mean, one of the best. Since when do they make you wear fall protection at 6 foot? I've never heard of such an outlandish thing. Since like August 1998. And so, and then, I would suggest, do you have the name and the contact information for all the safety professionals you worked for with before? Well, maybe you could ask them why this was. You know, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, what are you blaming anybody else for that? And didn't you take the 30-hour course? I have a card for you that says you took the 30-hour course. Humna, 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 humna. Aye, 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 aye. What else we got here? Is from the Department of Labor. In continuing commitment to streamlining the federal workforce and education system, the U.S. Departments of Labor and Education today released guidance to support states in updating their Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act state plans. Today's guidance builds on the agency's collaborative efforts over the past year, including the transition of the WIO state plan portal to the Department of Labor, activating Perkins I don't know what any of these things, grants and everything. Under WIOA, state governors are allowed to submit 4-year state plans and strategies for the state's workforce development system, creating an opportunity for states to align their strategies with America's talent strategy. The Trump administration's blueprint for transforming federal government's approach to workforce development. Through this alignment, federal workforce and education investments will meet the talent needs of employers and empower more Americans to access high-wage careers. So, again, we're trying to get more people into the trades, not to college. U.S. Department of Labor announces compliance assistance tools to help employers understand federal labor laws and avoid violations. U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division today announced the launch of several compliance assistance resources designed to promote greater full compliance with federal labor laws and empower employers with the tools and the knowledge they need to prevent violations. The new tools include a compliance assistance webpage and a video series called On the Family and Medical Leave Act and revamped compliance assistance toolkits for various industries. Today's announcement follows the recent relaunch of the Department's Opinion Letter Program, which expands the department's long-standing commitment to provide meaningful compliance assistance that helps workers, employers, and other stakeholders understand how federal labor laws apply in specific workplace conditions. Let's click on that. All different kinds of stuff. So here we have one on bonuses. We have another on learned professional exemption. Right, we went over some of these recently, but they're putting them all in one place. We already talked about that. And let's go take this off. So this is a, we won't talk. We already talked about that. Virginia Commonwealth University Health and the VCU police are investigating after Noose and the hospital made a series of videos about fighting back against federal law enforcement. This goes along the lines of, be careful what you say. I'm sure the people who are encouraging people like that to say things, they still have their job, right? And here we have Doomsday Clock 2026 update says apocalypse is closer than ever. The human race is at its closest point yet to destroying itself, according to a reset of the ominous but symbolic Doomsday Clock. Humanity continues to move closer to catastrophe, scientists said Tuesday, January 27th. The human race is at its closest point yet, destroying itself, according to the reset of the ominous but symbolic Doomsday Clock. The metaphorical clock now stands at 85 seconds to midnight after advancing 4 seconds since last year's reset. The clock is now at the closest point to midnight since its introduction in 1947, and is updated each year by the Bulletin of American Scientists, which organizes the assessment of how close we are to self-inflicted end of humanity. Citing a worldwide failure of leadership, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, Science, and Security Board set the Doomsday Clock at 85 seconds to midnight, closest it's ever been to catastrophe. Going on and on and on. Doom and gloom, a lot of it today. I'm sorry, folks. This is from, where is this from? MSN.com. The largest U.S. power grid operator, PJM Interconnection, said Tuesday it issued extra alerts to transmission and generation firms and warned demand could exceed 147 gigawatts, an all-time high for winter. PJM, which serves more than 67 million people in 13 states, issued maximum generation and load alert for companies to see if any maintenance or testing could be deferred or canceled to keep units online up during this critical period. Right, so they don't want to have rolling blackouts in the middle of winter with the, especially with this. Right, with that, let's go to another commercial break.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's Safety Today.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer-emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing, every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It's definitely, it will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozo, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozo and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Steady, can't let it choke. Don't rock the safety boat. Keep it smooth, keep it afloat. Dance all night, but don't provoke. Don't rock the safety boat. Don't rock the safety boat. Feet tapping fast, dicks getting slick. Flashing shadows play their tricks. Hold the line, baby, don't let it split. One wrong move and we're in the thick. Ooh, ooh. Steady hand, steady heart. Don't let the rhythm fall apart. Don't rock the safety boat. Keep it smooth, keep it afloat. The safety boat.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Pozel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Yes, that's what we're all about here, facing the harsh reality. How's everybody doing? All right. Sorry about the low energy program tonight, but it was rough. Shoveling all that snow all weekend long. Next year we're getting a snowblower. Can't do this anymore. Now, we're called all different kinds of things out there because we talk of, what do we talk about here? Sometimes we talk about the census. We talk about population growth. Populations, shrinkage, right? Depopulation, because we've been in, because starting our modern era, at least it goes way back, according to some people I know who research this all the time, goes way back further than 1967 with Pearl Ehrlich's population bomb, where they talked about depopulating and, you know, too many people in the world, that sort of thing. So, goes way back. So, now we have New York Times in on it. Here it is. U.S. population growth slows sharply as immigration numbers plunge. New census estimates show the effects of dropping birth rates and President Trump's anti-immigration policies. As his term continues, immigration is expected to drop further. And the U.S. state's population grew last year at one of the slowest rates in history, according to new numbers released on Tuesday by the Census Bureau. The immigration numbers plunged more than 50% from the previous year under aggressive anti-immigration policies of President Trump. So they were showing their true colors. Anti-immigration policies. Actually, it's anti-illegal immigration, but, you know, oh well. I'm not being an apologist here, but let's be accurate in our language. And the birth rate continued its nearly two-decade-long decline. The nation's population increased by 1.8 million over the year and stood at almost 342 million on July 1st. The estimates say that is a growth rate of about 0.5%, the lowest since 2021. When the COVID panic caused deaths to soar and borders to close, shutting the door to international migration. A year slow showed the slowest growth since the nation's founding. Right? Then later on, they mentioned illegal immigration. What's going on? A sharp rate in the birth rate contributed to the slowdown and population growth. The birth rate has been falling since the Great Recession in 2008. New births outpaced deaths by only 518,000 in the latest period. That's higher than during the peak of the COVID pandemic when deaths were soaring, but is still extremely low by historical standards. What has been carrying the United States through this decade has been immigration, said Kenneth Johnson. Again, New York Times saying this. We were on this story long before this. He noted that in the decade from 2010 to 2020, immigration made up about 40% of overall population growth, while births supplied around 60%. But since 2020, the birth rate has declined. Immigration has taken up a larger and larger share. Now accounts for 80% of overall growth. Right? And boom, boom, boom. So what are we looking at here? This is right from the Census Bureau, census.gov, right? Which basically this, right? South Carolina is the fastest growing state percentage-wise. So here we go. Top 10 most populous states. So California, number one in population with 39 million, right? Far behind with 31 million, almost 32, is Texas, then Florida, then New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Ohio, Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan. Top 10 states by numeric growth. Texas at 391,000 and Florida at 196,000 and North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, Washington, Arizona, Tennessee, Virginia, and then New Jersey. Little New Jersey with 9 million. Nine and a half million now. So, what does this show? Numeric number growth. New York is not in that top 10. Top 10 states by percentage growth. New York is not in there, neither is New Jersey. So you're looking at South Carolina, Idaho, North Carolina, Texas, Utah, Delaware, Washington, Arizona, Nevada, and Tennessee. What's alarming here? I tell you what's alarming. People are going to go nuts with the census the next time it goes around because it's allocation. Don't think that all this, a lot of this stuff at least, has to do not with compassion towards the immigrant population. This is Jimmy's opinion. Has to do with the loss of electoral college seats and also congressional representation. Right? That's where this is all headed toward. There's basically 700,000, roughly 700,000 people make up one congressional vote. So if a state like California loses 21 million people, they're going to lose three congressional seats. That goes on and on and on for all the other states, and they're going to gain legislative seats. So, that's what's really driving all of this stuff here and the controversy that you have seen and will be seeing more of in the next couple of years. Some EPA news. Okay. East EPA and West Virginia renew commitment to support farmers and clean water. It's from Charleston, West Virginia today. The U.S. EPA and the West Virginia Department of Agriculture today reaffirmed their partnership through a renewed memorandum of understanding to protect agricultural and environmental health and promote agribusiness for the next 5 years. And farmers across West Virginia are already helping keep streams cleaner. We're proud to be their partner in agriculture, said EPA Mid-Atlantic Regional Administrator Amy Van Barklum Lakey. With this agreement, EPA and WVDA make it simpler for farmers to help, can help, share what works and invest in practices to improve water quality. Good. U.S. EPA announced the agency's final disapproval of California's heavy-duty inspection and maintenance regulation under the Clean Air Act to the extent the regulation applies to out-of-state and out-of-country registered vehicles. EPA determined that California's unprecedented attempt to establish a inspection and maintenance program and a state implementation program for heavy-duty vehicles that pass through California, regardless of where the vehicle was registered, may violate federal law. Pardon me. The Trump EPA will not back down to holding California accountable and stopping them from imposing unnecessary regulations on the entire nation. If California had its way, prices would skyrocket for truckers and businesses across America. Affordable trucks are vital for keeping food and goods moving and prices low for families, said EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. Americans didn't vote for California's policy to be imposed nationwide. In case you missed it, Administrator Lee Zeldin gets EPA back on track to eliminate animal testing after Biden administration phased out. On January 22, 2026, U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced that the agency is getting back on track to end mammalian animal testing and reviving the ambitious goals first set during the Trump administration to eliminate the practice by 2035. By the Biden administration, canceled the agency's animal testing phase-out deadline, slowing innovation on the next generation testing alternatives as fair animals and strengthen science. Right now, the EPA is charging ahead, prioritizing development to roll out high-quality methods again. And right there's a lot of other stuff here with that. All right, that's all I got for tonight. We're going to have some pre-recorded stuff on after this. And for Safety Wars, this is Jim Pozel. I hope to see you tomorrow. And have a good day.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people, but somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast. With more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.